Good morning. I'm Gary Gramling, and I'm calling to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission for the month of April. Today is April 10th, and we're officially convened at 9:02 a.m. A couple of administrative announcements, which are the same that you hear every month, but I gotta do it. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker's request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. We don't have a lot of controversy today, so we probably won't worry about exceeding that. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda once that's been proposed by submitting a speaker's request form. It means you're going to have to really run when that announcement comes forward if you want to oppose the consent. We'll let you walk fast as long as you are visibly standing up so that we know that it's happening. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before the meeting starts and hand it to the recording secretary, Angie Rosati-Rios, over here in the corner. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form. And we do have some gold-colored forms that have been submitted this morning. So, and who do you submit them to? Angie over here in the corner. Okay, so we've called ourselves to order. We've done our non-agenda. Now it's commissioners' comments. Commissioners, do you have any comments? No comments. All right. Report by the President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a handful of announcements, comments to make. These are all very good. And the first thing I'm going to do, very seldom do I get to tell the chairman what to do. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to ask Gary if he would stand up and get his photo taken with a series of staff. Every year, the Housing Commission does awards of excellence to selected employees. We ask employees to nominate from among themselves for individual awards, and then senior staff selects three of those for as superlatives. And also, we ask for nominations for teams within the Housing Commission. We select a team. And then, also, there is a one CEO award of the year, which I get to select, and that's someone who represents the best in who we are and what we do. And so what I'm going to do is ask the three individuals who were selected, who were nominated by their fellows, and then selected by senior staff here to have their picture taken with Chairman Gramling. And those are Maria Gomez, Senior Office Assistant in the Rental Assistance Division. Please come on up. Looks like she's not here. Is she out today, Zena? She's a smart lady. She's on vacation today. I know the second one is here. I see her right now. Perry Ryan, Senior Program Analyst in the Real Estate Division. Perry. Come on up. And also Ralph Tharp, Senior Program Analyst in Administrative Services Division. Ralph. While the picture taking is going on, I'll describe the process. Employees nominate, employees are selected, and then there is a staff meeting that the Housing Commission holds, one of our all-employee staff meetings, which occurs in either February or March. This year it was in March, where we recognize these award winners to the rest of the staff. So Maria, Perry, and Ralph were all acknowledged to their fellows about 2 weeks ago in a staff meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, in addition to the individuals, we had a number of teams nominated as well. And the team we selected, you all will recognize, it is their first-time homebuyers team, which helps put our low- and moderate-income families into homes of their own. Vicki Moss leads the team. Vicki, will you come up? And also Delia Abling, Nancy Deeds, Melissa Holt, S.B. Martinez, Sandy Simon, Orlinda Stocking, and Carrie Tapia. Would you all please come up now? I assume Vicky's on vacation today, too. The two of these folks are smart. No, she's on vacation. And last, but by no means least, is our CEO Award of Excellence winner, Mark DeHaunt, who's Senior Program Analyst in the Homeless Housing Innovations Team. Mark. You know, last count, if my memory is correct, we've got something like 286 employees at the agency here. It's the finest group I've ever had the honor to work with. Some excellent, excellent people. And each of the folks that were acknowledged today are the people who do the work. They don't always get the public credit for it. That's true for a lot of our people. So to all of you today, thank you. to the staffing here generally, thank you very much. It is a first-class outfit, and I commend them to the Lord. Thank you. One more time. Also, since the last board meeting, several items of note have happened. One, I'm sure you know this one, but the City Council approved the interim housing proposal that you all adopted last month at the City Council meeting on March the 24th. It was unanimous. And this shifted the interim housing from the tents to the Paul Mirabile Center, which is part of the St. Vincent de Paul Villages complex. This is a result of a direction from City Council last October that the Housing Commission looked for a more permanent setting for the interim housing function. And I'll point out that we've gone from tents 4 months out of the year to a permanent structure 12 months out of the year, with St. Vincent's raising matching money to make that work without additional taxpayers' outlay. So it really is almost a Lowe's and Fish's story. It's a very good one. I'll also point out that on the day that the tents shut down, April the 1st, which had been planned ever since the tents were reopened last November, of the 350 individuals who were housed by the two tents, 102 that day were moved into St. Vincent's. So St. Vincent's will ramp up from 102 last week to the full 350-bed capacity by the beginning of the formal contract in on July the 1st. And that was made possible because Mayor Faulkner came up with the extra funding to cover the transition time period. So this was a good example of nonpartisan partnership throughout the city, and including what you all did last month, too. So thank you all for that. I'll point out that that the shelters over the winter served a total of 1,107 men and women from November the 1st through February 28th, and there were more in March that we haven't counted yet, haven't totaled up yet. There were 163 homeless men and women who were transitioned into permanent or longer-term housing during that time period, and there were 223 additional homeless men and women who were matched with, quote, having navigators to help them become ready for permanent and longer-term housing. So as good as the, quote, tent system was, the permanent structure is going to be that much better. I think we're showing a lot of progress in that arena. Also last month, on March the 23rd, I joined Commissioners Ortassin and Cerdy at the grand opening of a new property, the Versa at Civita. The Versa is a 148-unit affordable housing development for low-income seniors in Mission Valley. And about 30 of those seniors are housed there with housing choice vouchers that come out of our the voucher program here at the Housing Commission. And the property itself was the very first affordable housing open in this master plan Civita development, and it's under the City of San Diego's Inclusionary Housing Ordinance. So this reflects not only the use of federal funding through the vouchers, but city funding through the Inclusionary Housing Ordinance, too. Also on the 23rd and 24th of March were pretty significant days. Also on the 24th of March, I joined City Council Member Gloria at the groundbreaking ceremony for a new property called Atmosphere in downtown San Diego. Atmosphere will be located on Fifth Avenue, about half a block north of Ash Street. It will have 202 units of affordable housing for low-income renters, including 51 units of supportive housing to address homelessness. These 51 supportive housing units will be made up of 31 units for adults with mental illnesses who are at the risk of homelessness, 10 units who are seniors who are homeless or at the risk of being that, and additional 10 units for other adults in the same status. To make this work, in addition to a $3 million loan that we provided to Wakeland, which is the nonprofit doing this particular property, we also issued $25 million in tax-exempt multifamily financing. And we're also providing 51 vouchers, which are worth just a little over $500 million per year in subsidy. So it's another property that's going a long way toward meeting what our goals are. In front of you, commissioners, are a number of photos that recount those events. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, that concludes my report.
Thank you. And in speaking about the end of the era of the tents, what I can say is that the tents, while always controversial every year, did a tremendous job. They did a tremendous amount of good over the years that we had them. I've had occasion from time to time to run into people in the downtown area who are housed permanently, who are employed, who have literally said, you know, if it wasn't for the tent, I don't know where I would be, because it was the tents that turned my life around, and the counseling and everything they got. So we can congratulate ourselves that we've graduated away from temporary housing to permanent housing. But I think that the city needs to congratulate itself on having run a very successful program all these years, even though it was only a short-term program per year. It's had a major impact on literally thousands of lives. So it was a good program. Okay, moving on. I would like to now propose the consent agenda. So any of you who think you may want to, you know, oppose the consent agenda, get your running shoes on. I'm proposing that items 100, which is an award of a painting services contract, 102, which is a memorandum of an amendment to a memorandum of understanding, and item 103, which is our proposed 2016 budget, be moved to consent. I feel comfortable on proposing that the budget be moved to consent, because we had a full-scale presentation of it last month as a workshop, so that we could think about it, vet it, and go from there. So that's my proposed agenda.
Second.
Sorry, before we do, Counselor?
Yes, just for the record, in front of the commissioners is a revised First Amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding between the City and the Housing Commission, which we which is substituted in for the one that was in your package.
Thank you. All right, so it has been moved by Commissioner Moraga and seconded by Commissioner Surdy that the consent agenda be approved. I'm going to ask each of you if anything that Counselor has said has changed that. Okay. Then I'll call any discussion of the proposal. Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the consent agenda as proposed, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda has been approved unanimously. Now we go to the minutes of the March 19th special meeting, which was actually our combined March meeting. And commissioners, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes? Anyone wish to make a motion to approve them? Commissioner Surdy has moved approval. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the approval of the minutes for March 19th, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The minutes have been approved unanimously. So with that, we'll move to item 101, and on the speakers, I think I'm going to ask you to speak after the staff has made the presentation.
Good
Good morning, Chair Gramley and Housing Commissioners. I'm Ann Kern, Vice President of Housing Finance and Program Development. With me is Tina Kessler, Senior Program Analyst. This morning we have an item that is somewhat related to the budget. It discusses our Affordable Housing Fund, which basically is our local revenue source for affordable housing program activity. It does not discuss our federal funds, but simply focuses on the federal funds due to municipal code requirements. With that, Tina Kessler will give you an overview of the item.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chair Gramling, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. Tina Kessler with the Real Estate Department. Agenda item 101 before you today is a recommendation for approval to the San Diego City Council to approve the proposed fiscal year 2016 Affordable Housing Fund annual plan. Each year, we are required to present an annual plan to City Council for approval. The requested actions related to the fiscal year 2016 annual plan are as follows. Recommend approval of the proposed fiscal year 2016 Affordable Housing Fund plan and program activity allocation of $33,082,445 in anticipated funds and the proposed model programs. Authorize the San Diego Housing Commission, President and Chief Executive Officer, to reallocate funds among the model programs included in the fiscal year 2016 annual plan in response to the market demands and opportunities. And item 3 is recommend that the San Diego City Council give direction to the City Attorney to work with the Housing Commission President and Chief Executive Officer and Housing Commission General Counsel to draft an ordinance amendment that improves operations, efficiency, and administration of the Affordable Housing Fund as directed by City Council. The annual plan framework is a tool for planning and budgeting of the revenues. The plan specifies the amount of money budgeted for housing activities, administrative expenses, and describing the programs to be funded. The intent of the Affordable Housing Fund is a permanent and annually renewable source of revenue to meet, in part, the housing needs of the city's very low to moderate income households. Very low income is less than 30% of area median income through moderate income at 120% of area median income. At 50% of area median income, a family of four would be earning less than $40,500 annually. In addition, the intent is also to leverage revenues 2-to-1 to support the city's balanced communities policy, preserve and maintain affordable housing, and encourage private sector involvement in affordable housing activities. Historically, affordable housing funds have leveraged other funding sources 10-to-1. The Affordable Housing Fund was created by San Diego Municipal Chapter 9, Article 8, Division 5 in June of 2003. The fund is composed of two funding sources, the Housing Trust Fund and the Inclusionary Housing Fund. Inclusionary Housing Fund revenue comes from the collection of fees from residential developments and revenues from loan repayments. These funds are primarily used for construction of new affordable housing. Inclusionary Housing Funds may also be used for other programs as administered by the Housing Commission with City Council approval and included in the annual plan. Historically, these funds are spent on first-time homebuyer program as well as rental housing production. The Housing Trust Fund revenue comes from fees on commercial development and loan repayments. Funds can be distributed through loans, grants, or indirect assistance for production and maintenance of assisted units and related facilities. These funds are used on a wide range of activities, including rental housing production, homebuyer assistance, rehabilitation, and transitional housing operating support. This slide here shows two projects that have been funded through the Affordable Housing Fund. With Independence Point, the photo there is a rendering. The project is approximately 40% completed through construction, and COM22 will be celebrating its grand opening May 8th. In fiscal year 2016, we anticipate approximately $33 million in the Affordable Housing Fund. That includes approximately $5.5 million in housing impact fees, $780,000 in Housing Trust Fund Program Fund, an additional $1 million from the State of California Housing Trust Fund Grant Award, and approximately $25.6 million in inclusionary funds. This slide here represents the proposed allocation by each program. The majority of the funds are allocated to rental housing production, along with some funding to homebuyer, transitional housing, capacity building, and administration. This slide here represents the percentage allocation, with approximately 87% to rental housing, 3% to homeownership, and 4% to transitional housing, and then a little bit to the other activities as well. The model program's activities is a guide that is used for the affordable housing funds. Several of the programs that are proposed this year include revisions to be consistent with current activities and initiatives. We are proposing the following changes to the model program's activities in fiscal year 16: to revise the down payment and closing cost assistance program, reducing the maximum closing cost assistance to 4% from 6%, to change the grant to a recoverable grant from a recoverable grant forgiven after 6 years, remove the lead remediation and healthy homes program, and revise the housing initiatives program list to be consistent with current homeless activities and initiatives. We're also proposing to remove the flexible rehousing program, allow for-profit developers to participate in the technical assistance program, and remove targets of opportunity. The proposed model program allocations were presented at the Scripps Miramar Ranch Planning Group, the Tier Santa Planning Group, and the Downtown Community Planning Council at their March meetings. No written comments were received. Staff provided additional information to the Tier Santa Planning Group related to affordable housing programs and activities in response to community member dialogue at the meeting. Approval of this action will result in continued funding of activities benefiting the City of San Diego's very low to moderate income households and individuals, allocating funding to construct approximately 332 rental units, assist 24 home buyers, and provide grant funding for 810 transitional housing beds, in addition to issue 2 to 4 capacity building grants. That concludes our presentation. We are available to answer any questions.
Commissioners, any questions while they're there? Okay. In that case, we have requests from 3 individuals to speak on behalf of their organizations. They're individuals, but they're speaking on behalf of their organizations. What I've done is I've just organized them alphabetically, no particular preference. So I'm going to call first on Teresa Andrews from the San Diego Taxpayers Association. And when you get up to the podium, would you please push the button to turn the mic on and announce who you are and who you're representing? Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Teresa Andrews. I'm with the San Diego County Taxpayers Association. We have been actively involved in speaking about workforce housing over the years with the Jobs Coalition. I'm here today to show support for increasing the percentage of funding for the link from the linkage fee for workforce housing. We are very excited to continue working with the San Diego Housing Commission over the next few years to find more efficiencies within the linkage fees to fund more affordable housing in San Diego County. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Sean Carafin. Did I totally butcher the last name?
You did perfectly.
Thank you.
Perfect.
From the Regional Chamber.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
My name is Sean Carafin. I'm Executive Director of Policy and Economic Research for the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce. You know, I'm here today. First, I want to say thank you for all the work you all do on homelessness. I sit on the Regional Continuum of Care's Evaluations Committee, so I work on this as well, and I want to thank you for the work you do on that. Today I'm here to support the proposal in front of you to allocate funding from the linkage fee to workforce housing, which of course is what that linkage is, from job creation to the need for workforce housing. So I want to be here in support, but most of all I wanted to thank you and thank you for reaching out to the business community and continuing to work with us. It's much, life is much better when we're in a partnership. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And James Lawson from the San Diego Jobs Coalition.
Thank you, Chair Grambling, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry. James Lawson with California Strategies here on behalf of BOMA, NAOP, and the San Diego Jobs Coalition. I really want to speak specifically to the third staff recommendation. It wasn't covered in detail on a slide, but what I'm here to talk about is removing the percentage caps for distribution of the commercial housing impact fee. We support that request from your staff and from the commission. We think that it gives your professional expert staff maximum flexibility in using those dollars, which we fully support. We have been in contact with staff, and we suggested a cap for transitional services from the commercial housing impact fee at 10%. That recommendation was not accepted, but staff is continuing to work with us, and we really appreciate that. The concern is that in the past, a very a majority of the fund has gone towards transitional housing services. And we feel there's a philosophical difference there, that the nexus of the commercial housing impact fee is for workforce housing, not transitional housing services. So that's where our concern comes from. As I said, we've been in contact with your staff. They've been receptive. They are also willing to continue to work with us moving forward, have a better dialogue with the business community. We fully support that. Look forward to working with Mr. Gentry. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but those are my comments. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you. All right. Again, last opportunity before I ask for any proposal here. Anyone wish to ask the staff any questions regarding this, any additional clarification? Seeing no indication of such, is there a motion? Commissioner Moraga has moved approval. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis has moved, has seconded that motion. And I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion as submitted, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Okay, next is the strategic plan update workshop. Jeff?
Good morning, Chair Gramling. Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Davis, Chief Operating Officer, and with me is Debbie Ruane, our Senior Vice President of Real Estate.
That's who that is.
We're here to present a brief strategic plan progress report to you. We're about 9 months into our two-year plan, and we're pleased at the progress we've seen so far. You'll recall that we identified three overarching objectives in our strategic plan. Goal A was to create and preserve quality, affordable housing. Goal B was to provide housing choice voucher families with opportunities for them to become financially self-sufficient. And goal C was to foster a culture of excellence and innovation within the agency. So with diminishing state and federal resources expected, and yet the need for affordable housing is greater than ever, the Housing Commission will, with this plan, ensure the long-term viability of our properties and produce a steady stream of revenue to ensure maintenance and new projects can be done. We'll also develop a proactive approach to enhance programs and create initiatives that address homelessness in the most effective way. And we will locate new private funding resources and partnerships in order to provide the kind of programs that we provide at the Achievement Academy. We last presented a strategic plan progress report to you in September. The following report does not include accomplishments previously reported to you. Instead, we will only present to you the new progress that has happened in the meantime. While developing a detailed project plan for each of these goals and finding the resources available has been somewhat challenging, we are very confident that we are on target and we'll see success. So we have a total of 119 strategic projects identified. 30 of these have been completed to date, and this gives us a percentage of 25% completion thus far in early in our process. We'll continue to closely monitor our progress and report back to you. So now Debbie will walk you through the recent accomplishments that we've seen in Goal A, B, and C.
Good morning. One of the largest initiatives undertaken during this period was the Housing First San Diego, our homelessness action plan. This is a groundbreaking initiative that, in collaboration with other partners, brings together affordable housing with supportive services to address homelessness. Part of this initiative included a Notice of Funding Availability, or NOFA, for $10 million per year for 3 years, coupled with 300 vouchers. We issued this Super NOFA in November 2014 and will reissue it each year for 3 years.
To date, there have been a total of 4 applications with 1 award that was awarded to Affirmed Housing Group, who partnered with St. Vincent de Paul on Imperial Apartments. It's a to-be-constructed 63-unit property. We awarded $3.45 million for capital funding and 62 vouchers and leveraged funds with $85,000 from Funders Together. We expect the team of Affirmed and St. Vincent de Paul to receive a 9% tax credit award in June and hope to see this property begin construction in January. And we've also received 2 more applications last week that are now under review. We've also, the renovation of the historic Hotel Churchill is set to begin in May next month, with completion a year later in May 2016. This will create 72 units of housing for homeless veterans and former foster youth. Additionally, $15 million from the Federal Move to Work Rental Assistance Program was used to acquire a property that will set aside 20% of the units for permanent supportive housing. The money is slated to acquire Village North Senior Apartments near our Belden Apartments property, and it's expected to close at the end of this month. The property has 120 units, and 20% of those will be permanent supportive housing for homeless. We also dedicated 25 of our own units through the Housing First San Diego initiative. These units are for transitional housing for homeless individuals and families identified through referrals from the Coordinated Assessment and Housing Placement System, which is being utilized by all homeless service providers in the downtown San Diego area. The program objective is to provide a stabilization opportunity that leads to long-term housing for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Some interesting statistics on this. Of the 25 units, 22 are occupied right now. We expect to fill the last 3 very shortly. And in total, we've put a roof over 81 people's heads through these 22 units, including 47 children and 7 veterans. 18 are single-parent households. 4 are domestic violence survivors. And 10 out of the 22 households have at least 1 adult household member gainfully employed. All participants have some form of income. Also, Funders Together to End Homelessness provided $50,000 in grant funding for household furnishings for these units, and move-in kits were provided using Housing Commission funds. We would love to see this program grow, and we'll be tracking its successes very closely. The Rental Assistance Division worked with the County of San Diego's Behavioral Health Services Department to create a joint RFP, Request for Proposals. Its purpose was to attract service providers so we could offer a complete package, housing plus service dollars. As a result, we were successful and are providing housing subsidies for 11 homeless families, and the county is providing supportive services. The contract was awarded to ECS, the Episcopal Community Services, and it will be effective beginning July 1. The Housing Commission worked with business groups and other partners to create a proposal that was approved by the City Council on November 10th to amend the Impact Fee Ordinance, or Linkage Fee. This is the first time it's been amended since 1995. We're also applying the 20-year capital improvement findings from our Green Physical Needs Assessment on our portfolio, and we will be creating a prototype for 1 set of our properties. We'll then apply that prototype or replicate it across the portfolio as we identify workflows and financing options to accomplish the work needed. And lastly, the business intelligence tool was used to create dashboards for the portfolio management department. This is also related to Goal C, Objective 2, which is to ensure real-time data is available to make agency-wide strategic decisions. Our second goal is to provide housing choice voucher families with opportunities for them to become more financially self-reliant. Our Workforce and Economic Development Department worked with community partners and other Housing Commission departments to make progress towards this goal. As a result, we've created a new industry-specific training program for participants to increase job opportunities. We accomplished this through the creation of 3 separate curriculums: hospitality, caregiver, and security guard trainings. To date, 27 participants have been hired in these fields as a direct result of these trainings. The Workforce and Economic Development Department has also provided training for the Housing Choice Voucher Inspection Unit. This project armed our inspectors with knowledge about WED Workforce Economic Development programs. Inspectors are out in the field speaking with our families every day, giving them a better understanding of WED programs. And we also developed an information sharing session. We worked with internal and external partners to create sessions to increase program knowledge across the Housing Choice Voucher and WED staff. This project increased the interdepartmental knowledge base for staff, inviting more participation in the WED programs. Our third strategic goal is to foster a culture of excellence and innovation. In order to assist the agency in accomplishing its goal, our IT department completed several projects to enhance our infrastructure and technology platform. One exciting example is that a business intelligence tool was selected and will soon provide the Housing Commission with real-time data to make decisions about all aspects of our business. As mentioned earlier, a proof of concept or prototype was completed for our portfolio management department. We're looking forward to showing you the finished project at our next update. Another technological advancement we introduced recently is the Landlord Portal. This tool allows the Housing Choice Voucher participants and landlords to access their account with the Housing Commission 24/7. They can review inspection results, ledger balances, and other unit information. And a couple of examples of administrative projects that have been recently completed include the Job Order Contracts, or JOC. This was awarded in September 2014, and it's a procurement tool that provides a way to complete small, simple, routine construction projects very easily and quickly. This saves us a tremendous amount of time and money. Also in our rental assistance division, an inspections optimization and a conversion to a streamlined biennial recertification cycle were accomplished. Inspections are now scheduled in groups by geographic area, and this provides time and cost savings. Changes to the recertification cycle simplify the process for the participants and allow for more effective program administration. And in our agency-wide re-engineering effort, our administrative services and finance divisions have worked with a consultant to conduct an assessment of our current procure-to-pay processes, procedures, and workflows. By using lean thinking and Kaizen methodologies, a streamlining action plan has been developed by the Housing Commission. Last one. Other accomplishments relating to the goal of fostering a culture of excellence and innovation include conducted focus groups with our staff. At our last update, we reported that an employee survey had been conducted to gauge employee engagement and to provide employee suggestions for areas of improvement. We benchmarked that survey against peer organizations and identified key areas of employee interest and concern. We then conducted focus groups with our staff in the following key areas: performance management, communication, rewards and recognition, and career development. Each of these employee focus groups have reported out to the senior leadership team and have provided excellent results for us and great suggestions. And with that, I'll turn it back to Jeff.
So that brings us to our current focus, which is what we plan to accomplish next. In line with our continuing efforts to be an employer of choice, an action plan will be developed to implement the focus group suggestions that we received from our four focus groups. Also, as it relates to our business intelligence tool, as mentioned previously, we have created a proof of concept for one of our departments, and we are very excited about what was accomplished there, and now we plan to roll that out to the rest of the agency. We're working to develop and increase a community awareness and participation in our WED activities, programs, and updates. The communications department is actively involved there. And we will be using the information provided by the Green Physical Needs Assessment to develop a capital plan and identify financing for rehab and preservation of our real estate assets. And lastly, our largest department is underway on its process reengineering and expects to show much progress in the upcoming months that will be reported to you. And that completes our latest strategic plan progress report. Our next report to you will be at the end of the year, and we'd like to point out that this presentation has been reviewed by Commissioner Moraga, the chair of the Strategic Plan Subcommittee, and we have incorporated his comments into our presentation. And Debbie and I and the other vice presidents are all here to answer any questions you may have.
Somewhat facetiously, is Mr. Gentry swearing everybody in that photograph? Okay. Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Moraga?
I just wanted to commend the staff. This is a tremendously robust strategic plan. So everyone involved from the leadership down, congratulations on your projects of progress so far. 119 initiatives is nothing to sneeze at, especially the size and scope of each of those. So congratulations and good luck with the rest of it.
Okay. No other comments? And this is a non-action item this month. Some future month we'll have some actions here. Thank you very much. Okay, we've completed our public agenda, and so I'll entertain a motion that we adjourn the public session of the meeting. Commissioner Moraga has moved that we adjourn. That motion was seconded by Commissioner Surdy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.